Rocky Swamp.
Back in action. Episode
10?
12.
Wow, 12.
12.
Episode 12. We're getting big time.
We broke 10 into 2.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So.
Our mad rambling for 2 hours the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
I enjoyed it.
I mean, it was good, but, you know.
But we've come up. We're actually on video.
Yeah.
Trying it out, so hey. I'm bald if you didn't know. Of course, everybody doesn't know.
And I look stupid.
Nah, man.
Oh, wow, we actually won.
I know. I didn't plan any of that.
I didn't either.
So.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's Monday.
It's Monday.
The day after Kobe Bryant died, him and his daughter. And I think it was 9 people all together.
9 people all together.
Terrible news.
It was a couple kids included.
It's terrible.
So,
I mean, you know, we're not going to sit here and act like, well, I'm not, I know you ain't either. We're not going to sit here and act like, you know, we knew him personally or anything. It, you know, you got all these other people at the top and that knew him, and those sounds, you know, those sentiments resound more. But it is a tragedy. It's a tragedy when anybody dies. You know, and I hate that we lost Kobe, but what really got me being a dad was the kids, and that's what made me the saddest. And him and leaving his, you know, his daughter died, and then leaving three other girls.
Three other.
That's
and a wife.
Yeah. I hate that, man. And then the other family.
There was a lot of people at work, just kind of had the sentiment. It was like, well, I mean, why is he special? As a sports fan, I mean.
Oh yeah, as a sport. Now, talking sports fan,
that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like the second greatest NBA player of all time.
On my list.
On mine too.
You got Jordan, Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron.
Yes.
And there's a reason why I've got them listed that way. Is LeBron is just, he's a specimen of a man.
He is. He's huge.
And so that's how he gets by. Is he's just so big.
Mm-hmm.
But Kobe and Michael. They got that killer mentality. The Mamba mentality it's called that for a reason. It's almost like a religion. He went around and taught that to so many people, so many different teams, Alabama, yes. San Diego Chargers, anybody that...
L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, he went and talked to teams about that mindset that he has.
Started the Mamba Academy.
Yeah.
That was like his mantra, maybe, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The way he lived with everything, not just basketball, but... all his endeavors outside of sports, too. He did that with that, too.
Yeah, and that's why it's such a big thing is, yeah, he touched more lives outside of sports. Not just sports, but outside of sports as well. And, I mean, he had a book series that he had been writing.
Well, yeah, kids' books, too.
Yeah, it's what I'm saying. It's it's kids' books, and it's to help kids find their confidence and stuff.
Didn't he
like
win an Academy Award?
He won an Academy Award for his little short film that he did. I mean... it's not just basketball when it comes to Kobe. It's how to be, and we, you know, this is debatable, but especially in his later years, it's about how to be a good person, a good father, a good dad.
Yeah.
You know,
obviously he had some
issues earlier on, and you know whether that's, you know, true or not. I'm not here to say. I wasn't there. I don't know all the facts.
Right.
He said, she said.
Yeah.
Whatever. But you can't deny how good he was.
No, you can't.
I mean, I've always said that his 81 points was a bigger deal than Wilt Chamberlain's 100. Because it was in the modern era when basketball, it's hard to score in basketball. A lot of times.
Wilt didn't have threes.
Wilt didn't have threes, and he was also probably the only person on the court that was, you know, over 6'7".
And he shot a lot of foul shots at night.
Yeah. I'm just saying Kobe did is way more impressive. And then 60 in his finale.
Yeah.
That's an NBA record. But just think about we talked about legacies before and legends and stuff. That's him, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I don't care what anybody says.
I thought he did. I loved watching him play.
Oh, yeah.
That was some of my favorite times. You know, you had when I was a kid – more or less, watching Jordan and Pippen and you know, Malone and Stockton and and all those guys when my dad growing up, then, you know, and technically, and don't take this, I'm not saying he's, anyway, it's, you know, Jordan, you know, my dad's generation had Jordan. Our parents' generation had Jordan. Our generation, we had Kobe. That's you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, now this new generation, they have LeBron.
They have LeBron, and but, LeBron's always going to be the greatest to them, just like Jordan's always. See, we
kind of got to taste both.
We got the end of Jordan, well, kind of the mid-Jordan, and then the start of Kobe.
Right. He was the Jordan of our time.
Yeah.
Kind of like LeBron is the, you know, and then Generation 4 had Dr. J and all those guys.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
Shaq and Kobe, man, I tell you guys.
20 years in the league, 18 times an All-Star. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's ridiculous.
What I thought was interesting is he was, it's like trilingual.
Oh, yeah.
French, Spanish, English, and then he spoke some German, they said. I thought that was, which I knew he spoke Spanish fluently. So, I mean, and then you look at him and you think, man, he's really smart. And dude never went to college.
Yeah, college is a bogus thing.
You know what I'm saying, though. But I just hate it's, you know, and I just, like I say, the loss. I'm not being cold. You know, I understand Kobe was 41. That's not old, but he had got to live. And his daughter was 13 or 14. Yeah. Man, it's,
and like I said, I had to cut it off.
That's terrible.
Yesterday, once they started, you know, just showing videos and pictures of him with his with his daughter and stuff, I'm just like, you know what?
That sucks. It's what
it does. And I mean, I'm not a parent.
Right.
But I was somebody's kid, obviously.
Yeah.
So you understand that bond between a parent and the child, whether you're the parent or the child. Yeah. You understand it. So just to see how they were, like, interacting with each other, you could tell that they really loved each other.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And, you know, to even think about what was going through their mind while it was happening, I couldn't imagine.
I've tried not to.
Yeah, it's but, I mean, his legacy's there.
Oh, yeah, no, always
without a doubt. And that's why it's such a big deal. Like, everybody's like, oh, people die in accidents all the time. Why is he special? It's because he touched so many people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a musician or a sports star or whatever.
You're talking about that, I remember how upset you was when Dimebag was murdered.
Yeah, well, there's, you know what?
Because he meant a lot to you as in your music.
Yeah.
And people might look at him and think, oh, you didn't know that guy. You may not personally know him, but it doesn't mean they haven't affected you personally.
They have an influence on you. Like,
right.
That was the reason why I started playing guitar, and that's, you know, just like people started playing basketball because Kobe.
Right.
They watched Kobe, and they said, I want to be like that guy. And guess what? Some of them might have got out of some really bad situations because they were able to start playing basketball. Yeah.
Well, you look at the NBA now, a lot of those guys, the young guys that's in the NBA, that's who they had was Kobe. They looked at Kobe just like Kobe looked at Jordan.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so, that's why you see I didn't see the players' reactions till, you know, earlier today.
With the 24-second violation.
Not just that, like, just seeing how upset people were, like, in shoot-arounds and stuff. Yeah. And
Doc,
like,
Rivers, man, he was tore up.
Yeah, and, you know, that's how you know that you're a good person is, like, when you finally go, that many people, you inspired that many people, you touched that many people that, you know, they feel obligated to go and set flowers down for you or just to gather and, you know, just remember. I mean, that entire city ate out of his hand.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he brought so much joy to that city
with
all those championships and stuff, you know. And, I mean, there's something to be said about that. I mean, yeah, you're not supposed to put that much stock in letting a championship affect your life that much.
But, when you're a diehard fan, man.
When you're a diehard fan, man, that's the way it is. So, I mean, and it says something about his loyalty too. He could have went and jumped all these teams when the Lakers wasn't good, but he stuck it out. And that's something that you don't ever see anymore as a player staying with a team for 20 years.
Nope.
I mean, that's loyalty. That's trust in his, you know, front office and stuff. And I understand it, but he never once went ring chasing.
That's exactly right.
You know, so I have respect for him for that.
That to me,
him
that
and Jordan
spoke
both.
A lot.
Yeah.
You know, and we may, you know, is Tom going to leave New England? I don't know. I hope not, man. Whether you're a Patriots fan or not, you don't want to see. Like back in the day, you didn't want to see Joe Montana playing for Kansas City.
No, or Jerry Rice with Oakland.
Yeah, or Emmitt at Arizona.
Yeah, I mean,
I ain't never been a fan of it. I like it when they stay. How about Charlotte? You know, when they drafted him.
I had this conversation earlier. Like, what if he would have actually stayed with the Hornets? Would we still be having this conversation about how good he is?
Yeah.
I think he was that good.
But he's a generational player.
I don't think I don't think he would have been with Charlotte his whole career.
He
would have
went
somewhere else.
Probably.
But
I don't know. It's hard to see. You don't ever know. But yeah, I like loyalty. I like it when they stay. I always have.
And I understand there's things that happen that allow you not to stay. Or,
at times, you know, yeah. I mean, some people get traded and you ain't got no. But when you're I know what you're saying. I just don't like
my dad
ring chasers.
Said, my dad always said free agency ruined sports.
Yeah. It's basically an open bid market, all it is.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but.
Sell your talents to the highest bidder.
Yeah. And that's what it boils down to a lot of times is money. But I don't know.
Terrible news. It's sad. But
yeah. And like I said, it makes it a whole lot worse that there was kids on board and stuff. My question is, how did they even get clearance to fly? I don't know how the FAA regulations and stuff are, but I do know the Los Angeles Police Department grounded all of their aircraft because it was so foggy. They were waiting for the fog to lift and stuff. And I don't think that was their call to not fly. But I just feel like the conditions probably
weren't
great to be flying in to begin with. So I don't know the details on that, and I'm not going to pretend like I do. But it just kind of blows your mind when stuff like this happens, no matter, you know, if it's a sports fan or like a sports star or a rock star or whatever, 9 times out of 10, when they look back at it, they go, they should have never even been in the air with those conditions. So,
right.
I mean, who's making those choices, it seems like, to me. I'm not going to put no blame on them because I don't know who made the call or whatnot. But
yeah, and if, you know, if you're like me, you know, and this is not getting political or religious, not like that. I don't mean it that way, but when it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and regardless if they'd have drove to the game, flew to the game.
It's final destination, man.
Well,
if it skips you, it's coming back. You might have bit the bullet,
I don't know about all that. But
you might have missed the bullet on the helicopter, but you're gonna get it in the car.
I think everybody's got time.
Yeah.
I just know.
That's what sucks about it is you don't know when it is.
No, that's why you gotta love everybody, man. Like, you know, ain't no need fighting and arguing and disagreeing about. I mean, it's fun to argue stuff, and I don't mean it's not fun to debate. No, I'm talking about.
We're talking about hateful.
Yeah, arguing. Man, life's too short for all that, bro.
Yeah.
You know, spend time with your loved ones. If you got friends that you love, you need to tell them. Spend time with them and family and all that, because tomorrow might be it, bro.
Start a podcast together.
That's right. We're learning.
Yeah.
Having fun, though. Yeah, somebody said, why y'all do it? I don't know. It's just fun to do. It's a hobby.
It gives us a reason.
What I said earlier, we could be doing meth, but we're not. There's that.
There is that.
Anyway, I'm trying to lighten the mood. Jeez.
Although, how interesting would this podcast be if we were on meth right now?
I don't know, man. We wouldn't be fun to look at.
We're not fun to look at anyway.
That's true, too. Talking about Lane Staley earlier and his unplugged thing. Yep, probably what it looked like. All haunting and eyes closed and weird. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's sad. But like I say, I try to lighten the mood up. I don't know, man.
I kind of had the Pro Bowl on in the background for background noise, and then I found out about it, but.
The Pro Bowl.
What
a waste of time. I like the skills competition.
Yeah, that's
fun.
That's the best part of it.
Yeah. But I hate the Pro Bowl. I didn't even watch Pro Bowl.
I actually saw an old video yesterday where it was Peyton Manning and Brett Favre and Trent Dilfer doing all these skills competitions. It was actually kind of cool to check that out. But
yeah.
Yeah, Pro Bowl's a waste of time. Nobody wants to watch that.
I don't think I guess they want to be there. I don't know. Maybe.
I guess it's just fun for them to get together and hang out with players that they don't get to hang out with all the time. Maybe learn some tips and tricks from each other. You know, like Alvin Kamara could go up to, you know, somebody and be like, "Hey, man, how do you do your footwork this way?" Or,
right.
You know, what do you do to make sure that you're staying in tip-top shape? You got any, like, health advice or, you know, you got any cool supplements that I might not have heard of? But as far as the game goes, it's boring.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's terrible. Like I say, I don't even bother with it.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that nobody wants to get hurt, which I totally understand in a meaningless game.
Yeah.
You don't want to tear something, because if you tear it at the Pro Bowl, you're going to miss out on the next year more than likely.
Oh, yeah.
In games that matter.
Yes.
So, I understand that they're not going 100%, and I wouldn't want them to go 100%. I'd hate for Christian McCaffrey to go tear his knee out because he's playing too hard in a Pro Bowl, because there's no incentive to win in the Pro Bowl.
No, the NFL should just do the skills competition and let it go with that, maybe. You know, I think – when it comes to that, the NBA with the All-Star game, you know, they got the dunk competition, the three-point shootout. And then the game itself is pretty entertaining. They don't really play a lot of defense, but that's entertaining to see all those guys. But baseball, the All-Star game in baseball, man, I love the All-Star game in baseball. Because if you win, then
– you get home field advantage.
Yeah, if you're American League, National League. So that has a little bit of meaning. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
I just like the home run derby.
And the home run derby's good, too, but –
but, I mean, you can only do so much with
the football. Celebrity softball game is fun, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's just like the NBA All-Star Weekend used to be awesome, man. I hadn't watched it in a while because
– I do. I watch it.
But I loved cutting it on and seeing, you know, for one, you had the celebrity game.
Mm-hmm.
And then three-point competition.
Yeah, man.
Dunk competition.
Yeah.
Back when, like, the best players were in it.
Oh, yeah.
It meant something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your best players don't do it now, and I don't know if it's ego-driven. Like, they would feel like – you know, like if they don't win, then it's a, you know, knock on them or whatnot. But
I don't know.
I don't know why they don't want to do it. Like everybody wants to see LeBron in a dunk competition.
Oh yeah, but maybe he's just you know,
maybe he's like you know what,
I've, save his leg or something.
Yeah, I've got you know I've done I do my talking on the court when it matters kind of deal. Like dunk competition don't matter to me, but I definitely love the old school dunk competitions.
Yeah, the NFL should just trash the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl. Name the Pro Bowl team, which they already have the All Pro. It's more illustrious to be on the All Pro team than it is the Pro Bowl team. Pro Bowl team is basically fan voting and popularity contest, whereas the All Pro is voted on by experts, and that's more illustrious to me.
Oh yeah, it does. It means more.
Yeah, and you know, Christian McCaffrey was able to do something nobody's done, and get it at two spots.
Yep.
As a flex and as a running back. The flex is somewhat new, so, I mean, you know, it's not a huge news story that he got it in two positions because the flex hadn't always been there.
Right.
But still pretty cool.
I thought so.
But as far as, Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it's trash. Just garbage. Zahn's looking good.
Yeah, I actually caught a little bit of the game. I think it was last night.
We have no schedule, by the way, or itinerary.
No, we're just talking.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I did catch the last little bit of it. He looks so funny when he runs. I don't know if it's because he keeps his arms so low or when he's running around on the court, he kind of looks funny. But I know there was one play. He was sitting over on the wing, and he just made a little backdoor cut. And, I mean, he's just so – he's a freak athlete.
Yes.
But is he such a freak athlete and so big that – he's going to stay injury ridden.
I hope that he doesn't stay injury ridden.
Because
he
could
career.
Be that one that takes the torch from LeBron.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, absolutely. So. You know, and I think right now there's a lot of good young talent in the NBA with him and John Morant in Memphis. And that dude is ridiculous.
I love watching John Morant that last year in college.
Yeah.
Last year.
I've loved watching him this year when I'm calling, man. He's phenomenal. I don't really like Trae Young, but he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good young talent. I think, what's his name? Played with Zion at Duke. It's at the Knicks.
R.J. Barrett?
Yes. He's going to be good. He's going to be very good. And I tell you, my favorite player in the NBA right now is Luka Doncic at Dallas.
Yeah,
that dude can play some ball, man.
I mean, they're already talking about how he's, like, he's going to be the athlete of the decade.
Well, he's only, like, 20.
Yeah, so I can honestly say I haven't watched a whole lot of NBA games.
Right.
Because I was talking about it today. Like, I loved 90s NBA so much.
You're stuck in the past, bro.
Yeah, that's my thing. I haven't got with the times on it.
You don't have
I haven't switched over to the way NBA is now.
Right.
I enjoy the old school type of basketball. Mm-hmm. I like having a prototypical point guard and center and all that. You know, I'm sitting there looking at it like, why is Kevin Durant bringing the ball up the court? He's too big to be a point guard. You know, it's just, or, you know, when LeBron runs point, you know, it's just weird to me because I'm used to watching little John Stockton. And, Muggsy Bogues and stuff like that. Like, each position was set, like, it had its specific, you know, things that it was supposed to do. Like, your shooting guard had, you know, that was the same thing on every team, just about.
Right.
Like, their responsibilities.
Well, if you could build a team, build a starting five, past or present, who would you put on it?
Oh, man.
I would go... I mean, you got to have Shaq.
Shaq's got to be your big man. That's my favorite big man of all time.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Shaq, obviously. And now I ain't going to go through position-wise because it's changed so much. But
yeah, anybody can play any position.
Yeah, Shaq would be in there. You know, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. You got
to
have him.
He has to be in there.
And then...
Like, if you're going to say he's like a point guard, anybody can.
Yeah, and
there's so many good old point guards.
And then probably just one of, because he's one of my favorites of all time, is Charles Barkley. I love Charles. I just like, man, you talking about a killer mentality? I mean, he didn't call it the Mamba mentality, but Charles Barkley played, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's hard, but it's hard to be like, well, what about Karl Malone? I know Karl was good too. I mean, he was awesome, but I just like Charles. That'd be my five. Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, Charles. If I can get Charles and Shaq to get along.
Well, they get along pretty good.
They're funny.
No, when they're playing, that might not be.
Oh, yeah. So you got.
I mean, I would probably.
He's a Rodman fan, probably.
Hey, don't knock on Rodman.
Somebody's got to get rebounds.
Rodman was so integral to those Chicago Bulls teams.
You ever watch that 30 for 30 on him?
I don't think I watched that one.
It's really interesting because when he's in San Antonio, they couldn't really control him. David Robinson, you know, David Robinson is very intelligent. I also went to the Naval Academy and all that.
Yeah,
but he didn't have the – I don't know what the word is – the presence to calm Dennis down. He couldn't reel Dennis in. And then when Dennis said on the special when he went to Chicago, he realized he was playing with the greatest of all time. And he said, if Jordan told me to do something, I did it. I don't care what it was. He said, if I was getting a little bit out of hand, Jordan would grab me, say, hey, you need to, you know, calm your beat down, you know. And Dustin, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And listen to it. That was really interesting. His off-the-court antics, whatever. I don't know, he's crazy, I guess.
But that reminds me of an interview that I saw earlier with Kobe when he was talking. I can't remember who he was talking to, but he was explaining when he realized he needed to be a leader. Like, you know, he said, you have to quit worrying about am I ready and worry about are they ready.
Well, you got to understand, the kid came in the league when he was 17,
18. Right out of high
school. So, I mean, it –
He had to grow up a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, there ain't no way at 17, 18 years old that I could have done anything like that, you know?
Yeah. But that's the way you prepare for games.
Yes.
Is, you know, like, that's the true essence of a leader is you don't worry about yourself. You make sure everybody else is
right.
Okay. And
that's true. There's different leadership styles.
Yeah, and
that's true leadership to me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, same thing with, you know, he was talking about Phil Jackson. Like, Phil Jackson didn't give them any light days. He said these players now, you know, they take rest days. you know, they take it easy in practice and stuff. And he said, that's not the way that you practice.
That's my biggest knock on LeBron. Not the rest period thing, because Kawhi does that too. But
yeah.
Jordan, as good as he was, Kobe, as good as he was, they were still coachable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And LeBron has never – people say, well, he never had an elite coach. Well, you wonder why that is.
He runs them all off.
Yeah. You know, and I think that says something about the greatness of Jordan and Kobe, Shaq, all those guys. As good as they were, they still were coachable. And that's where we're getting in this day and age now, to where uncoachable kids, when they grow up, you know, whether it be working a regular job or playing a professional sport, if they wasn't coachable as a kid, they're not going to be coachable as an adult. And I think that's a problem that we're facing in today's society. We're getting really deep now for some reason. But I do believe that. I think that's a problem. You know, I know when I was a kid, my dad coached my baseball teams. You know, then I had basketball coaches, football coaches, Coach Comer. You know, he was the manager. Man, we got coached hard. And we got yelled at and screamed at. Were we abused? No. But we weren't treated special neither. I mean, you took your lumps. And, if you did something wrong, you run laps. It didn't matter if your dad – I mean, my dad's made me run laps around the baseball field when I did something stupid, just like he did everybody else. And
didn't get no special
– No, man. You know, you was coachable. If anything, yes, sir, no, sir, I'll do that, sir, yes, sir. Or, hey, you know, I don't want you to run this play. We're running this play. And then you did what you were told to do. You were coachable.
Yeah.
And you did your job. You wasn't bigger than the, team.
Yeah.
It was a team. And now we've run into it, you know, just from watching that QB1 special, some of those kids that come up, they're not coachable at all. You know, the high school coach.
They've been told their whole life how great they are.
Yes. And that's a problem, man.
They think they've arrived.
Yes.
And they're scared. It seems like they're scared of competition. That's why they're so quick to leave.
Yeah, I can see that.
But then, you know, at the end of the day, we don't know what they've been prompted. We don't know what these coaches have told them on their on their visits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whether they've been misled.
I mean, was Hutch easy on y'all?
Like that. No. No. Yeah. Hutch.
Golly, man.
Hutch was
hard. Comer was hard.
Some people would say that Hutch was a sore loser, but that's not what it is. So he was just competitive.
He hated to lose, but he loved winning.
Yeah, he loved winning.
Yeah.
But there's been times where we lost that he wasn't super upset because we didn't do nothing stupid. We gave it our all. But it still, you know.
Suffered the consequences.
Yeah, still wore on him.
Yeah. I hated running that hill over on her.
But, you know, that's why.
That's terrible.
That's why I like hard-nosed coaches.
Yeah.
Because you can get somebody like Jason Garrett who's going to clap and be like, oh, man, it's okay, it's okay.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, then the players get this mentality. It's like, you know, oh, I made a mistake. Not a big deal. Coach wasn't mad. So if I make that mistake again, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Whereas you make that mistake and the coach goes over and say, like, Pruitt got so much flack over, grab somebody's face mask just a little bit. You grab a face mask to get their attention and you chew them out. They think in their head, man, that sucked. And I don't want to make that mistake ever again.
Yeah.
So they do things to correct it because, one, they disappointed coach.
Yep.
And no player wants to disappoint their coach.
If they respect it.
If they care. And, two, I mean, it's just nobody wants to make mistakes, period.
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't. You should never be okay with making mistakes unless you learn from them.
Exactly.
You can't make the same mistake over and over.
Right. You know, I want to see, you know, watching Florida, somebody makes a dumb mistake, Dan Mullen gives them an earful. That's what it should be. Not a, it's okay, we'll do better next time. No.
He does a mix of both.
At times.
Yeah.
There's love.
And it has to do with the player, too. Some players.
Sometimes you have to approach it different.
Some players don't. It's just like with parenting, too. And like I said, I'm not a parent, but I can watch from afar. You got to.
Sometimes tough love's needed.
Yeah, you gotta know the child that you're disciplining, mm-hmm. and what they respond to and what they don't respond to. Yeah. Some players are not going to like you to yell at them.
That's true.
Just the thing. And that might just be simple as coming over and talking to them and being like, hey, you know, talk to them as a normal person, but still be firm about it.
Right.
And
I always did better, you know, like in school. If I had a really strict teacher, I did better.
Yeah.
A lot of times the teachers that people didn't like were my favorite ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just, you know, because if my teacher was lax, boy. Woo.
See, I always did better being challenged.
Yeah, if you were relaxed, man.
Hey, you ain't good enough for this.
You ain't getting nothing out of me. So, yeah. I don't. Yeah, it's.
There's a fine line. There's so many different personalities on a team.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you a good coach is being able to find their lines and not cross them. Just kind of tiptoe up to them.
Yeah, I think Dabo's done a good job of that too. Like I said, I'm not a Clemson fan by no means, but I think Dabo does a good job of knowing.
You can tell that he loves his players, but also he's not scared to make them ride the bus back.
Right.
When I can't remember who they were playing, but that kid started throwing punches on the field, and he made him ride the it was either equipment bus or the manager's bus back while everybody else got to fly home.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you can talk, say, you said it perfect. You can tell he loves them, but he demands.
But he's also excellence. He's also disciplinarian.
Yes,
and you but in a different way. He's not like a Nick Saban who's hard all the time, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I mean, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting here talking about how tough Dabo is. But in a different way than what Nick Saban is. It's there's little nuances there to where.
Well, and now with Saban, that's to me Saban comes off not anything bad, but he still has the old school mentality of coaching, kind of like Bear Bryant would have had, you know. Really, 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 really hard all the time, and then that one moment he's nice, it means everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like old-timers, you know. You know, a lot of old-timers, and, you know, just in life, men in general, they didn't say, I love you.
Yeah.
They, you know, you knew they did, but, you
they,
know.
They decided to do it through action instead of
yeah,
verbalizing
there was no,
it.
Yeah, never show softness to a sense.
Yeah. Always got to have the veil up. You gotta be hard all the time.
Yeah, and that was their generation's idea of a man. I mean, my God, they won World War II, so I got nothing to say against them at all. So.
Greatest generation.
Hands down. Absolutely hands down, in my opinion.
Not when it comes to sports.
Well, yeah, obviously, but still. Did you see everybody saying, I mean, it's been a week now or so, Daniel Cerrone, people were trying to say he took a dive. Like, lost on purpose to Conor McGregor. Have you seen any of that?
I didn't see any of that. I didn't actually watch the fight either. Because for me, like, that fight lasted, what, 17 seconds?
I think it's 40.
40 seconds?
Yeah.
Less than a minute, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You paid how much for the pay-per-view?
I don't know. It's probably $50.
I'm not sure how much it was. Yeah. But I refuse to throw money away like that. I get it when you throw big parties. You know, hey, everybody shows up, throw $5 in on it, whatnot. Yeah. But I don't do that a lot.
Yeah.
So I would have to order it myself, and I'm not spending that money to watch a 40-second fight. So with that said, and I'm going to see it on Facebook the next day.
You think the Super Bowl ever goes to pay-per-view?
No.
Because of the commercial money?
Yeah, the commercial money, and it's just – why would you be able to watch every game all season and then have to pay for the biggest one?
I don't know, man. I think they could. You think they would make more money with a pay-per-view than
maybe at first? Maybe at first.
Because I don't think the fans of the teams probably. I mean, the true. I mean, some people would, I guess. But
yeah.
I mean, I would not pay it.
No, I mean, if my team's not playing, I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So they probably would lose money doing that.
I would think so.
But that's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I don't like about the UFC is they have so many pay-per-views.
It's every weekend now.
Yeah. I remember when we were watching it pretty hardcore, you know, back when Tito Ortiz and, you know, Iceman and all them were fighting. You got one every couple months.
Yeah.
There wasn't as many fighters either.
Right.
So, you know, they had to give them time to recuperate and stuff. But there's so many fighters these days,
mm-hmm.
and plenty enough people to fill a card.
Yeah.
That they can do it at least once a month.
Yeah.
And not part of my income that I want to.
I think the last fight I actually paid money for was it wasn't even UFC. It was Triple G and Canelo, the first one. And after Triple G got robbed, I mean, I'll not do this again.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. That if you're going to charge money, the quality's got to be there. And I mean, I get it's fighting, and you have no control over when somebody gets knocked out, whatnot. Right. That's why I feel like at least the football aspect of it, you're going to get your money out of it because you're going to get a full game.
Yes.
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
That's why somebody made the argument, because I was talking about how I don't pay for pay-per-views and stuff because I feel like it's a waste of money, and the guy was like, well, you pay for football tickets. I'm like, well, I know I'm going to get a full game out of it, at least. You know, I'm not going to show up, pay right. all this money, and then halfway through the first quarter, and be like, all right, it's over.
And honestly, now, talking since you brought that up, you know, not only in an SEC game.
Right.
You're paying for the game. Yes. But it's a whole different experience.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from watching, like this year, went watched Carolina and Wake Forest at Wake Forest. It doesn't compare. The excitement, the atmosphere is not the same. To where if you go, like you've been a bunch, I've been some with you. You go to Tennessee and it's Florida versus Tennessee. Man.
That's a different animal.
God bless. Yes. I mean, I remember over there when you beat us for the first time in, what, 12 years? I mean, we left. There was couches on fire. People going crazy.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die.
Cars overturned, which is kind of it was a car that they were.
I mean, it was bought to do that with, but,
yeah,
oh,
yeah, exactly.
My goodness,
but
man.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, people think I'm crazy when I say that place was off the chain. It was off the chain. And then the first year we went, we parked right there beside them dorms. And that's the year, for some unknown reason, they put Will Muschamp on the loudspeaker.
Yeah.
And those people were throwing beer at me when we left.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So, people, you paid for that? Man, it was fun. I had a blast. But it's a different experience. So that's why you pay. You know, I've always said I'm not a materialistic person. If I'm spending money, it's usually for a ball game or a concert or something of that sense. There's nothing like live being there.
Well, you can see it better on TV, everybody says.
You can't feel it.
That is a very good point, that you might start seeing these stadiums kind of downsizing because they're not able to fill the stadiums a lot of times. Especially for one, you know, the level of competition sometimes is not there. Like, a lot of people's not going to go watch Tennessee play East Tennessee State.
Oh, yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the reason why college football was so popular in the 80s and the 90s is in order to watch your team play, you had to go.
Right.
There wasn't all these multi-million-dollar TV deals where mm-hmm. Every big game's broadcast. So people are like, well, you know what? The prices are pretty high. I won't have to spend all day on Saturday going to the game, watching the game, coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not even be that good of a game. I could have just stayed home and put a better game on.
Right.
You know? So it's one of those things where that might start to where, like, it wouldn't surprise me if Neyland Stadium goes down under 100,000. You know, they're going to start putting in more stuff that's more fan interactive.
Right.
Which I'm fine with, because sitting on that concrete sucks. If they you know, went down 20,000 seats, but everybody's got this nice seat to sit in, you know, to make the fan experience a little better, I'm okay with that, because
right.
at this point in time, who cares how many people you sit in the stadium?
Yeah, there for a while it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. Like, we got to have the biggest stadium, but it's not that big of a deal anymore. I personally don't care if we have 102,000 people. Yeah. I would rather have, you know, and they would say, well, crowd noise. No, trust me. At some point, the crowd noise, it's still going to be there with.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, it'll fit 102,000 fans, but if there's only, you know, 90,000 fans there anyway, it's going to be just as loud if you take the stadium size down and pack. It's easier to pack it out. So if anything, it might be louder because you'll be able to kind of condense it down, and then you know it'll be a full house and closer to the field. You know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where me personally as a fan, and I guess it's me getting old. I would like more
comfort.
More comfort, yeah. Because you've sat on them seats. They suck.
Oh, yeah.
My back hurts by the time the game's over.
Yes.
Your butt falls asleep.
Yes.
And I don't feel like standing the entire game either.
Now, at that Oklahoma game, there was no sitting down.
No. It was
You can't even stand shoulder to shoulder. You had to turn. I mean, it was.
And the same thing with packed, that Florida game, too.
Yeah.
It was packed.
And then that LSU game was, whew.
But, yeah, I think
it was wet.
I think teams are now, or universities are now looking into, downsizing stadiums.
Possibly, but if they're going to start paying people, they're going to have to get that income somewhere. But I think a lot of that's going to be handled with the sale of alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, that would offset.
Yeah, I think it will. Sorry, I got off.
That would definitely offset.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I just hope they bring back NCAA football, man.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Get an online dynasty going.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm on the fence about it because I do think it's cool when the stadium's completely full, but that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Even when it's a big game, you see that it's not completely packed out.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you look when we was.
And if you downsize, that's less amount of seats for the other team's fans.
Yeah.
To fill the stadium, because I'll tell you right now, with that many seats, they can't sell that many seats to just Tennessee fans because, for one, not everybody can afford the prices. And two, you know, it's just people. Tennessee's a big state, so.
It is.
You know, not Driver everybody's going to get to go. Time. Oh, yeah. But, you know, every game that a big team comes in that we play, there's tons of fans in one little corner over here and down here, which is the student tickets and stuff. And I feel like, you know, the less amount of the other team's fans are there, the better.
Well, yeah, obviously.
So, I mean, that would help out. I think that would help out with that, too.
But shifting gears, I want to ask you a question. And it goes with the times, I guess. I don't know. But how do you feel about the transgender sports competitions going on? Like, how do you feel about a high school boy, and this happened, they actually ran a special on ESPN, how do you feel about a high school boy, genetically born boy, male, transgendering into a female and competing against females? There's also a UFC fighter now that was born male that's trying to compete as a female. How do you? I know how I stand, and I'm sure you probably know how I stand on this.
I'm pretty sure we probably stand together.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like it just needs to be their own division.
So you think just have a transgender division where if you're a male trying to be a female or a female trying to be a male, you just that's it?
Well, no, it has to be the one like you have to have the division where it's a male going to a female and a female going to a male. Just because
I say I don't think so. I just, if you, whatever's on your birth certificate, that's what you used to compete at.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you want to say you're this or you're that, I don't have a problem with it. But once you're starting to compete against what would be considered the opposite sex, There's a problem there because biologically, biologically, it's not right. I mean, you know.
Well, Sarah, man, she's a girl. She can out wrestle both of us.
Yeah, but we're
not that caliber. Trained. I got you.
We're not that caliber of athlete.
So I don't think I don't like it at all. Man.
Oh no, I mean, there's a reason why the transgender male to female are setting world records is because they've had.
Yeah, you should not.
I listen to a lot of. I watch a lot of Joe Rogan, and he's a big proponent of this, where, they've been given the ability to have testosterone in their system.
That's a
natural testosterone in their system for years, and they've benefited from that. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten stronger because mm-hmm. of the testosterone. And then, you know, all of a sudden they're a female and they get to, you know, beat up on females. That's not right to me.
No.
It's
completely absurd.
And it just, like, weightlifting competitions. You know, obviously they're going to be setting records. And that's not me saying, you know, women can't do what men can do and blah, blah, blah. But there are certain biological facts that you can't ignore.
Yeah.
That men are biologically designed to be faster and stronger and more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not me being a bigot or anything like that. That's just science. You can't deny right. science. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, you don't have the right to transition if you want to. I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem when there's competition involved.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, that's where I stand on it. Like, I don't have a problem if you're a female and have felt like a male your whole life and you want to transition or vice versa or whatnot. I don't have a problem with that. I'll call you whatever you want me to, and I'm not going to judge you for it because I'm not you. I don't know how you feel. I'm not going to judge you on that. But to let somebody who was biologically born a male transition to a female and then go beat up on females, that's not good.
Yeah, run track.
Cool. Yeah, run. Obviously, they're setting. Yeah, all of that. Yeah. There should be no competition between.
So what do you think the Olympics are going to do with it?
That'll be interesting.
It'll be very interesting.
Because, you know, they don't want to probably come off as bigots and whatnot.
I know, but see, that's where we're getting. That's the problem, man. Everybody's afraid to hurt everybody's feelings. There's got to be a certain period in time. You just got to draw a line in the sand and say, look, this is absurd.
And that's what I'm saying.
We can't,
you know,
go. We can't do this.
You make their own division.
I don't know.
What are you going to do? They can't compete in sports, period?
Well, no. I'm saying they can't compete in sports, but if you're a male transitioning to a female, you still compete against males. Because you are a male.
Biologically, but not mentally. That's why you've
mentally.
Got,
what's mentally got to do with it?
Because they don't feel like they're a man.
What's that got to do with running?
What does that have to do with running?
Yeah.
I mean, that
I mentally feel like a female, so I can't run with
no,
a dude.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying though. It's not. It don't have nothing. It has everything to do with the division.
No.
Yeah, that's the only.
No, man.
We agree that it's not right for females to go transition to males and be a male athlete and vice versa. So what are we supposed to
do? So we're just going to create their own division for
us.
Well, so then when it comes around to where I'm an alien, we're going to create a league for people that feel like aliens and cats and dogs and lizards?
Well, I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
No, it's not. There's people out there that consider themselves other stuff.
Yeah, they're probably not athletes either, though.
Well, I'm just saying. No, I don't think they should. Mentally, I don't think it's got. No. You want to talk about a mental disorder like you're talking about with CTE or people, sports athletes, you know, with the desire to win, overcoming everything. That's a mental disorder.
But like you told me, you can't call it a mental disorder because you don't understand it.
Yeah, well.
Right?
No, I understand it.
No, you don't understand it.
Yes, I. What
are you one of them?
No. I'll hit you right here on this camera.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying, bro. I'm punching your mouth, bro.
You don't.
Calm down now.
You don't.
But no, it's
you
not.
You don't understand how they feel.
I understand it. I may not understand exactly how they feel, but I still don't understand what if I'm a dude that feels like a female, what that does affects me or running against a male because that's my biological makeup.
Because they don't feel like a man.
What's that got to do with running? What's that got to do with playing basketball or fighting or wrestling? Nothing.
I'm just saying that's, you know,
they want. I think it's a cop out for people who
they
can't
be
compete.
Treated like how they feel.
Yeah, I think it's dumb.
You don't understand.
Yeah, I hear you, liberal.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying too, man. It ain't right.
I agree with you. It's not right for them to compete against the females.
Okay, well, how about the females competing against the males?
That's not right either.
Why?
It's the same thing because a guy that's a male is still going to be beating up on a female that thinks she's a male. That's not right either.
Well, it don't stop it in figure skating. I mean, I'm being honest with you, man. They some of them dudes out there figure skating that are, I mean, they pretty, you know, girly, lack of better terms.
But
they just compete. So, I mean, you know, if it comes down to it, excuse me, like the Olympics, you might have a male that feels like a female that wants to compete in female gymnastics.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to be stronger.
Yeah, that's not.
But he's not going to be as possibly as limber.
True.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't think it's right. And I do not think we should create their own division. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but that's not it. if we start doing that, then we'll just open up the floodgates and let everybody use steroids and performance enhancing drugs.
I would love for people to use steroids.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
So you think Barry Bonds, okay, they just had the Hall of Fame voting in the Major League Baseball, right? Jeter went in. He was one vote shy of a unanimous decision.
Which is stupid.
Probably a Red Sox fan, truth be
yeah,
told.
Yeah.
Do you think Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, you think they should go in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I do.
You do?
Along with Pete Rose and all them.
Pete Rose should go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
He never bet against himself or his team.
It
he
doesn't
bet
matter. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, if he threw the game, I'd understand.
Yeah.
That's different.
But even still, who cares?
Well, yeah. But, yeah, they should.
How is he going to throw the game? He's not playing.
Well, I understand. But I don't think that – I think they should go in.
Yeah. I mean, steroids is not that big of a deal. I mean, when it comes to baseball anyway, who doesn't want to see them at their peak performance? You know, steroids
exactly.
are going to get them there. But the thing is, like we talked about with the stealing signs thing, you still have to make the contact.
You still got to make it.
Yeah. So, yeah, sure, when you make contact, you're probably going to rip it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it sullies the game.
Yeah. Think like about pitchers if they were on steroids.
I mean, some of them probably are.
Probably. Roger Clemens should go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for sure. I just don't see the big fuss about it.
I don't either, but, you know, it all goes back to
the whole honesty. And
there is, listen, in sports, if it's okay, this just like Tom Brady and the Patriots. He's a cheater. Listen, man, everybody – I'm not so naive that I don't understand that every team, everybody is cheating in some aspect. I don't care what you say. There's cheating on every single play. Sometimes it gets called, sometimes it don't. There's always going to be somebody. Everybody's looking for a little advantage.
Yeah.
It happens in everything.
Or a loophole or
something,
or
man. So –
It just depends on how
sometimes
extreme
you
take it or how extreme you take it. Like taping the other team and stuff, that's a little extreme using technology and stuff. But, you know, if you're just looking in the rule book and finding loopholes.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. Just like I don't really think it was that big of a deal for the deflate gate and all that.
No, it's stupid.
I mean, if I don't think. I don't think it makes you throw the football any more accurate.
No.
Any further.
No.
Help the wide receivers catch it any better.
No.
If anything, you know, the cornerbacks would have been able to intercept the balls better if they were in position.
That's what I thought.
I mean, I don't think it gives a competitive advantage on that. So yeah.
I think cheating, it takes place in everything.
Yeah.
It's just something you accept.
What's funny is all these people that are so upset about teams cheating and whatnot probably, you know, was looking on somebody else's paper in school doing their test.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, you know, there's cheating in everything, man. Sports, and then it's just like right now, and I'm not trying to get into this, but it's the whole impeachment trial thing. Every politician in some shape, form, or fashion is dirty.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can't accept that, I don't know what world you're living in.
Yeah.
You know.
But that just goes to everybody's trying to get a competitive edge or trying to look out for themselves.
Yeah, everything is that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think they should be left out of the Hall of Fame because.
No. I mean, it takes place in racing. You know, 1 centimeter difference on a restrictor plate could mean a whole lot of difference, you know. And what the restrictor plate is, if you don't know, is it goes over the carburetor and has holes in it, and it keeps the air from getting in and all that. At once, like, you know, if
restricts the airflow.
Yes, and 1 centimeter difference, you know, or a quarter of an inch difference on that circle that's a little bit bigger, that's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, you're letting more air.
Yeah, and if you don't get caught, you don't get caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things. Everybody wants it to be, I guess, even to a certain extent. I don't know, but it is what it is.
But that's just human nature. I mean,
I've never
just playing video games, you know, screen cheating. If you're playing, you know, 2-player split screen or whatnot,
yeah, you do it all the time.
Just kind of look up and say, oh, he's on this part of the
obviously, yeah.
I mean, it's just competitive nature. You're going to try to find an edge, mm-hmm. and you might even bend the rules a little bit to get that edge.
Always.
Just like when me and you used to play Rummy.
Yeah.
With your mom and aunt and your dad and uncle. Me and Kevin were the only ones that had cell phones that took pictures. We're sending pictures to each other.
Because if we didn't, we had. Hey, man, if we didn't, we wasn't winning.
No.
They were going to eat our lunch.
Yeah, because they were that good. So we realized, hey, we hate losing.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be able to do it on our own because we're not that good of a player.
They come to find out my mom and my aunts played so long together, they had signals.
They had signals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So come on with it, man. I mean, they were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
That is what it is.
Yeah. It's
it don't bother me.
Human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't no big deal to me.
It is what it is.
I mean, now when there's, you know, feats of strength involved, I could understand that, like power builders and
power builders
or bodybuilders, oh. and power lifters and all that. I'll put them together.
Yeah, you got whatever.
But yeah, I could understand how somebody would be upset if they tested positive for steroids, or maybe even boxing.
Oh, well, they have different meats for that though.
Yeah, well,
not boxing, but like powerlifting and bodybuilding.
Yeah, you got
all natural.
Clean.
Yeah,
yeah, so. Yeah, all that. But
those dudes, they'll cheat too.
Oh yeah, so,
yeah.
But like boxing, I could understand like steroids. You know, maybe give them a little more powerful of a punch, but still, you got to land the punch.
Yeah.
So I don't think it helps your skill set any. It just gives you a little more power.
Yeah, I can see that. You can train better.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Recover a little faster.
Yeah.
Possibly. There's things out there. I think somebody's here.
I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah. But, Jeter won one vote away from a unanimous decision. That killed me.
Being a Jeter fan, you are.
Well, it's just, regardless if you're a fan, man, why would he not be unanimous? That kills me. I'd like to know who that one guy or girl or whoever it is.
I wonder if they – I'm pretty sure, don't they release who votes what way?
I don't know.
I don't know if they do that for Hall of Fame voting in baseball or not. But I'm not sure if it's anonymous and it never gets, you know, put out there unless the person says it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know, like, with college football, like the coaches poll, they'll release what coach did – you know, what their top 25 was or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So,
and then you know who the board is for the playoff selection committee or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Who's the chairman? I think Frank Beamer's on it now. In this upcoming year. He's going to be on it. I did see his name on it. I don't remember who the other guy was. I can't remember who the chairman was.
And there's a lot of – there was a guy at work. It was like, there's a bunch of people that are athletic directors at schools that don't even have a football program. I'm like, well, they're trying to keep it unbiased.
Yes.
So that makes sense.
Talking about unbiased, do you like it when your announcers are unbiased? Or do you not?
I would like them to call a game on, you know, both sides. Just call the game as it is. Like, just be a fan of the game that's going on, not necessarily of a team. And I think, you know, like, Troy Aikman does a good job of that, you know.
I think Tony Romo is a great announcer.
Yeah. But if they were, you know, just up there talking about, you know, obviously calling one side because they were Cowboys, you know.
Yeah.
It would definitely turn me off of them.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Speaking of that, I saw Mel Kiper's he came out, I guess it was last week, this past weekend or something like that. His
draft board?
Yeah, draft board. That's the word. I couldn't think of the word. Obviously, Joe Burrow's number one.
Oh, yeah.
Chase Young, I think, was number two to Washington. Yeah, to Washington. Tua was going number five to Miami, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And then who did they say Carolina was getting?
Everything I see is Andrew Thomas, the offensive tackle from Georgia.
Need an offensive
Which
line in Carolina.
We definitely need big time.
That would be a good pick, I think.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You think Burrow's going to do good in Cincinnati if he goes there? Which I figure he's going.
I don't know. It's always tough being the number one pick because you're going to the worst team. So.
Well, I mean, if you're the number one pick in this draft, are you taking Joe?
Oh yeah.
Are you going to take Herbert? Are you going to take Tua?
No, you're taking Burrow.
Okay. Well, if Tua with no injury, would you take Tua or Joe?
I would take Joe still.
With 1 year? He showed you that 1 year. I mean, they wasn't that good last year. They were decent. Yeah. Tua's been good since the start. I'm making a point. If
Tua didn't have any
of
his injuries.
If Tua, no injuries, you know, regardless of who won the national championship, but.
I mean, that it's a hypothetical for sure.
Yeah.
But I can see how that would be like a tough choice.
I think so. Because, you know, we were talking about Tua the same way everybody's talking about Burrow now a year ago or coming into this year also.
Yeah.
I did see where Travis Etienne's going back to Clemson.
He is.
They're going to be flipping nasty again.
They always are.
Yeah, but that's just going to make it worse. A lot of good wide receivers coming out this year.
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy's going to be a great pickup for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
I want to say he was the number two off the board. Number two wide receiver off the board. I think they're projecting CD Lamb to go one pick right before him.
They're buzzing the top 10, ain't they?
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then you got Ruggs from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that, you know, like you always say, it always comes back to Tennessee. Juwan Jennings.
Hey, that's a good pick, though.
I
got no problem with that.
I've saw a couple articles that say he's slowly creeping up into the top part of the first round.
Well, you got to love his
like the back end of it.
Competitiveness, man.
Yeah, and that's what one of the scouts at the I guess it was the Senior Bowl that he played in. They were talking to, you know, he's not the fastest player on the field.
Right.
He's not the best route runner, but once he gets the ball in his hand, he does things that nobody on the field's doing.
Well, it goes back to like college recruiting. A lot of times, everybody bases recruiting success on all the five stars, and I understand what they're saying, but sometimes those four stars and even three stars come in and outshine everybody because they got the work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
To where the five stars, you know, they may
come in with a chip on their shoulder.
Exactly.
Oh, they only rated me a three star. That
right.
I think I'm good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just because the sports analyst special people, and a lot of times that whole recruiting thing sometimes just gets on my nerves. I think sometimes the people who rate these guys coming out of high school are, I don't want to say biased in any sense, but I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, it's like Dak Prescott when he went to Mississippi State, man, nobody was recruiting that guy.
Yeah.
Because he played in a little school, little high school, nowhere,
and that's
middle
what
of nowhere, Mississippi.
And that's what I always know? Say. You gotta look at when you see these kids, you know, high school tapes and stuff. You got to be like, well, you got to do some research and be like,
look who they played against.
What kind of division are they in? Because
yeah.
Look at Rico Dowdle at AC Reynolds.
Yeah, that's a good example.
he was unstoppable in Western North Carolina. And
that's Western North Carolina, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And B.J. Emmons. they go to their school and Rico was okay at South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like he was in high school.
Right. And B.J.'s doing good now, but, I talked.
He was unstoppable at Freedom.
Oh, my. They couldn't nobody touch him.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody one time right before. It's been years ago now, obviously, but when he was being recruited, he's like, yeah, he's going to go to Alabama. I was like, that's the worst decision he could make. He should not go to Alabama. Oh, he's going to go down there and tear it up. And I was honestly hoping he would, being a Burke County guy, you know, from down there he is. And I was hoping he would. But I knew in the back of my mind, he was a big fish in a little small pond here.
Mm-hmm.
When he went down there, I mean, you know, those guys wasn't impressed at all. They're not worried about it. You know what I mean?
And I think he had some other troubles and stuff too. But, I mean, we're not going to say he wouldn't have been able to start for Alabama
a couple probably.
Years later. But
I think he would have fared better somewhere else.
Yeah.
I know me and Goins at work were talking about it. You know, if he'd went to Virginia Tech, Louisville, Wake Forest. Oh, man, he'd have been a star. It's like Sage Surratt at Wake Forest, the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he probably could have played anywhere. But would you hear about him as much somewhere else as at Wake Forest? I mean, he's the man.
Yeah.
You know, and his brother's doing really good at linebacker in Carolina, too.
With the new transfer portal and stuff, that would have helped Emmons to go to a smaller school. And mm-hmm. if he proved himself, he could have transferred somewhere bigger.
I agree.
But,
you know, you got – you know, some of them teams and them high school teams in Texas, you know, it ain't nothing, you know, to have.
Yeah, the competition's
golly,
better.
Man. Oh, wow.
If you're doing something there, you know you're good.
Yeah.
You
know, and there's some great players that come out of McDowell High School, Freedom, East Burt, West Caldwell, South Caldwell, all those places. A.C. Reynolds.
They're
the man.
Yeah, they're not on that level of SEC schools a lot of times.
No.
I
mean, just look at the recruiting classes that the SEC had this year. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all would have been the number one recruiting class in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And you're like sixth or seventh in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
Yeah, I agree.
That's something else, man. It blows my mind. But
I don't know.
Anyway, any more thoughts? This podcast?
I am going to show one thing before we wrap it up.
We're going to show one thing. I don't know what it is.
I got to find it.
No, he's got to find it. With Keith, it's probably going to be something Tennessee, if I had to guess. Maybe. Oh, it looks like he's got some ball cards over there. Oh, yeah. This is cool.
Boom. Kobe Bryant rookie card.
Really?
Yeah. His stats on the back are from high school.
Oh, wow.
Rookie card.
Don't you wish ball card trading was as big as it was when we were young?
It is. You should look it up. That stuff is ridiculous. I'm telling you, look it up.
Well, I mean, it's so expensive now, though.
I know, but it's a huge thing right now.
You going to sell Kobe's rookie card?
No.
Why not? How much does that thing go for?
I don't know. I hadn't looked it up. I bet it's a whole lot more now.
That's terrible.
I wasn't trying to be mean. But anyway.
I remember when I was a kid, everybody was like, man, I need to find a Jordan rookie card. Those things were a hot commodity back in the day.
Oh, yeah, they still are. They're still worth a lot of money.
But used to. I mean, it's big, but it's not as.
I'm telling you, those cards are a whole lot cooler now and a whole lot more exclusive. You could get a card and it be the only card that's made.
Really?
And it's signed.
We should do a special, because I have a lot of ball cards.
Yeah.
Thousands of ball cards.
Yeah, I used to have a ton. I don't know if
I got a Yogi Berra, bro. That was my grandpa's,
say,
and my
that
dad's.
Yours.
Well, it is now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's passed down.
Yeah. And then I'm going to give it to the girls, and they're going to be like, who the crap? It's not a bear.
It's Yogi Berra.
Yeah. Where's Boo Boo?
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
anyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully we didn't scare you too much.
Yeah, sorry about the cough.
Yeah. But just recapping, you know, it's Kobe's gone and kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But there'll be somebody else fill his shoes, maybe.
Greatest Laker of all time?
Greatest Laker of all time.
In your opinion?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too. And that's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot from all the people that's
graced that
uniform.
Yeah.
Quick question.
All right.
To end it on.
Hit me.
Do you think it's worthy and they would possibly do it? A guy at work asked me this. Change the NBA logo.
To
Kobe.
Over Jerry West?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a good question. Why didn't you bring that up earlier?
I don't know.
Golly, man, I don't know.
Ponder it. We'll continue this next time.
I don't know. I mean, if you... Well, it set a precedent is the only thing
I'm
thinking.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like, what happens when Jordan dies?
Yeah, God forbid.
Another person dies.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
I think they'll leave it the same.
Yeah.
But it would be a cool sentiment.
Yeah. It would.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a tough question.
Yeah. I don't think
they would. Like I say, the precedents, I don't know that they would want to set that precedent.
Yeah.
Just, and then that logo's so...
Iconic.
Huge.
Yeah.
It is. All right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Later.